The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
A reading from Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning from afar, or see your cars anyway. We're preaching through the parables of Jesus, and one of the challenging things about preaching the parables is that most of them, or many of them, are so blindingly obvious as to the main point of what they're saying. In this particular parable, the parable of the unmerciful servant, all of us can see the discrepancy between the forgiveness the servant receives from the king and the lack of forgiveness that he shows. The point of the parable is so obvious as to almost be insulting. But that's why this parable is so challenging. Because despite how obvious the story is, it confronts us every time we hear it. Think for a moment about the sins you find yourself commonly repenting of. I hope you do find yourself repenting of your sins. One of the marks of genuine Christianity is a lifestyle of repentance. When you repent, when you are convicted of sin, how often do you repent of unforgiveness, bitterness, or resentment toward another person? I suspect that if we wrestle with that question, what we will find is that many of us have made peace with our unforgiveness rather than repenting of it. So this morning, let's allow this famous parable from Jesus about forgiveness to confront us and to challenge us. This parable on the surface is very easy to understand. It's clear that this is a parable about forgiveness. And so I want to point out 4 things this morning. This parable shows us something about humanity, something about God, something about grace, and something about change. So that's our outline for this morning. Let's discover something about humanity, about God, about grace, and about change. First of all, what does this parable show us about humanity? I discovered something in studying this parable that I'd never seen before in all my years of reading and studying the Bible. In Matthew 18, verse 21, we read, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Where does this reference come from? Where does Jesus get this 77 times or this 70 times seven in some translations? Well, if you know your Bible, you know that Genesis 1 and 2 tell us the story of creation. Genesis 3 records the fall. And in Genesis chapter 4, we read this. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. Genesis 4, verses 23 and 24. You see, Genesis chapter 4, the first chapter after the fall, is showing the progression of sin and selfishness on the earth. And Lamech's revenge is a picture of that. He's boasting in the fact that he is going to avenge himself beyond what anyone else has ever done. He's boasting in violence and retaliation. This parable shows us something about humanity, and that is, we love vengeance. We love retaliation. We love retribution. How could the servant in this parable, after receiving such great mercy, go out and choke his fellow servant and demand repayment? Answer? Well, because that's what we do. This is not how God created us to be, but it is how sin has twisted us. Peter, thinking he's being exceptionally gracious and generous, offers to forgive seven times. Jesus responds to that request by alluding to Genesis 4 to remind us how countercultural the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God sets humanity right side up. Lamech wants to avenge himself 77-fold. Jesus wants us to forgive each other 77-fold. So this parable shows us something about humanity. Sin has twisted us so that we love vengeance. We seek retribution. So ask yourself this question. In your life, in your heart, in your relationships, where is the longing for vengeance and retribution? Where do you see it? Where can you sense it? Where do you discern its contours? This parable shows us something about humanity, something about the reality of sin, what sinfulness has done to the human condition. It's caused us to love and seek vengeance and retribution. Second, this parable shows us something about God, and that is, God is a God of radical forgiveness. Now, the king in this story is not meant to exactly represent God. That's not how parables work. In verse 23, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. In other words, this is a likeness. This is a similitude. The king is not a mirror image of God, but there is some resemblance. There is a correlation. The servant in this story owes, according to verse 24, 10,000 talents. This is the gross domestic product of a small country. It's such an exorbitant sum of money as to almost be cartoonish. It's hyperbole, it's exaggeration for the sake of making a point. In today's terms, this is billions and billions of dollars. And verse 27 tells us, out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him. This is the kind of God God is. God is the kind of God who forgives a massive debt just for the asking. God is a God of radical forgiveness. So let that sink in for a moment. Think about the fabulous generosity and mercy of God. A God who does not treat us as our sins deserve, who does not recompense us according to what we have earned, but rather who is lavish and generous with his forgiveness. This is the kind of God God is. This is the kind of God Jesus has come to reveal. This is the kind of grace that is opened up for us in the kingdom of God. This is the nature of what God is like, a God of radical, countercultural, unusual, lavish forgiveness. This parable shows us something about humanity and something about God. But third, it shows us something about grace. This is really important. The parable shows us that grace creates responsibility. To say it another way, grace is free, but it is not cheap. Unlimited favor bestows unlimited obligation. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. This is part of our creed. We believe in amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We believe in grace that is greater than all our sin. So how is it that we who boast in amazing grace can still act like the servant in this parable? Can still be stingy and demanding and unforgiving? It's because we fail to recognize that grace creates responsibility. I had a roommate my freshman year of college who showed up to college with a brand new Mitsubishi 3000 GT twin turbo. It was a beautiful car and a really, really fast car. Now, keep in mind, we lived in the freshman dorms at the University of Oklahoma. So there was a sea of Honda Accords and Toyota Camrys and beat up Chevy pickups. And then there was my roommate's brand new, really nice sports car. The most frustrating thing about my roommate, David, was that he always insisted on parking that car where it could be visually seen from our dorm room window, which meant that every time we came back from Walmart, he would cruise the parking lot for 30 minutes if he had to until someone left and he could park it in a spot where you could see the car from our dorm room window. It was so maddening. I would say, hey man, it doesn't matter. Just park that. We're in a dorm parking lot. Just park the car. At some point during that semester though, I came to realize why David was so meticulous about that car. Here's what I learned. The car had been a gift from his parents and grandparents when he graduated from high school. It was unmerited. It was undeserved. It was unexpected. It was gracious. Now, if you're a 15-year-old and you're listening, just realize that's not necessarily normal. Everybody's parents don't buy them a car when they graduate from high school. But in my roommate's case, he had very generous parents and grandparents, and this was a way that they wanted to bless him. Understanding that changes the story, doesn't it? Suddenly, we're not talking about a roommate with a mild case of compulsion who has to be able to see his car at all times. We're talking about someone who has received a gift of grace and out of gratitude bears a healthy sense of responsibility. He wanted to be a good steward of that gift. Grace creates responsibility. And friends, we who have been forgiven a deep debt of sin by a gracious and merciful God have a responsibility to forgive others. Grace not shown is grace not known. Grace creates responsibility. This parable shows us something about humanity, something about God, something about grace, and finally, it shows us something about change. And it's simply this: gratitude is the key to change. The point of the parable is quite obvious. It's what we prayed in the Lord's Prayer. We are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. This is foundational to Christian theology. But the question is, how can we become the kind of people who do that? What can change us from vengeful people like Lamech, which we know is in us, into radically forgiving people? The answer, quite simply, is gratitude. First, we have to see the magnitude of the debt that we owe to God. And second, we have to realize the magnitude of God's gracious and generous forgiveness. The more we see how much we have been forgiven, the more our hearts will be inclined to forgive. Or to say it another way, unforgiveness comes from a small view of our debt. Unforgiveness comes from a sense that what others owe to us, the debt they owe to us, is greater than the debt we owe to God. But when we begin to see rightly, we begin to reckon with the massive size of our moral debt before a holy creator God and see the gracious generosity of his forgiveness to us, we become grateful. We become humble. And out of gratitude, we are changed. Friends, we owed a debt to God, a debt we could not possibly pay. Like Lamech, we boasted in our sin. We thrived on retribution, on self-love, self-worship, self-protection, self-interest. God did not merely forgive our debt. He paid it for us. God took on flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, took all of our debt upon himself. He took our debt of sin to the cross, and through his death, he paid it off. When Jesus on the cross said the words, "It is finished," the literal translation of that phrase is paid in full, debt forgiven. Jesus released us from the crushing weight of our debt, and he forgave it entirely. And then he rose from the dead and commissioned his disciples to spread the good news of this radical forgiveness to everyone, everywhere. Friends, the good news of the gospel is God is willing to forgive the debt of every sinner who comes to Jesus and simply asks. And that radical forgiveness changes those who receive it. That radical forgiveness is what can turn vengeful people into merciful people. It's what takes the kingdom of this world, a kingdom of violence and retribution and vengeance, and begins to transform it into the kingdom of God, a kingdom of righteousness and love and peace. So friends, let me get very personal as we close our time this morning. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, have you received God's gracious forgiveness in Jesus? Not, do you know about it? Not, are you intrigued by it? Have you received it? Second, is there anyone in your life whom you are unwilling to forgive? Is there bitterness, resentment, grudge-bearing toward another person? If so, I trust the impact of this parable is clear. Should you not have mercy on your fellow servant, as I have had mercy on you? Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for your gracious and generous mercy shown toward undeserving sinners like us. You have forgiven us a debt we could not possibly pay, and you've done so simply out of your kindness and mercy. So we humble ourselves before you and thank you for that mercy. And we thank you for this reminder that those of us who have received mercy must be people who live in mercy. So thank you that it's gratitude, it's your generous offer of forgiveness that can change us. And so where there are places of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hostility, where we are bearing grudges in our souls, would you this morning open us up to a fuller and deeper deposit of your mercy? Open us up to the kind of forgiveness toward others that you have shown toward us. Give us a real sense of the magnitude of our debt and the magnitude of your gracious forgiveness, that we might, through seeing that, become more and more the kind of people who forgive others not once, not twice, not seven times, but as much as we must, as often as we must, that we might bear the image of our Father in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.